please, to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. We'll start reading at verse number 1. Ask you to stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. But beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's a glorious statement, isn't it? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the privilege today to be in the house of God. Lord, what a joy this morning to be here in the worship service. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the testimony, the songs, and the praise, and the goodness of remembering back when you saved us. I praise your name for that. Then, Lord, I think of some that's not here that would love to be in here. And I pray for them and ask you to touch their bodies and help them and encourage them and help them. I pray today for those in the house that could not stand on any day being saved because they've not been saved. I pray the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart, bring real conviction, and draw them by your power, and we'll thank you for what you do. I pray in Jesus' name you'd help every individual here. Lord, surely as a song sung that many times we sing in the choir or we do various things in the church, but yet know not the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray it be real in every heart and every life that we are really saved and know Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of a no-soul salvation. I pray now, God, you speak to our hearts. Touch our minds, illuminate our lips. Help us to think like we ought to think. And I pray the power of God be upon us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to try to preach on this subject today. Actions of those who are looking for the rapture or the second coming of Christ or whatever terminology you want to use to call it that. And you are very much aware that Jesus is coming again, I'm sure. And you're very much aware that that coming will be in two phases. He'll come in the air and rapture, and then he'll come 7 years later back in Revelation to reveal himself to Israel, set up a kingdom, rule and reign for 1,000 years, and what a day that will be. But the next great event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church, the taking out, the snatching away. That word rapture is not found in Scripture, but the teaching is. It's an old English word which means caught up. And somebody was talking, got raptured in it. They got caught up in what they were saying. But we're looking at it in the sense of being caught up out of this world into the heavens with Jesus and meeting him. That shall take place. Somebody said, preacher, you sure that'll take place? I'm sure that will take place. Did you know when Noah preached and for 120 years and said there's coming a flood, they probably laughed at him because they never had rained even. They came up a mist out of the earth and watered the ground, and they probably thought it foolish to build an ark and that size that he was building it and no water there to put it in and all that. But it didn't make any difference how much they laughed or how much they thought it was foolish or whatever they thought about it. When God got them all in and shut the door, it was too late to think about it then. It did come a flood. It did flood the world. And God did what he said. So you can rest assured. Jesus said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm looking for Jesus to come. And people that look for Jesus to come, there are some actions. There are some things that's going to be taking place. But before I get to what I really want to preach about today, let me just give you an introduction here with the scripture I just read. I couldn't help but read this because, well, it'll tie in a little bit. I'll share that with you. But it starts out, said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Sons of God. Now, let me say this. There's only one only begotten Son of God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But every saved, born-again person is one of the sons of God. In John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." I am glad, hallelujah, I can be numbered among the sons of God. And when you stood a while ago about the day when you got saved, as the day you became a son of God. And you say, "Preacher, that sounds like you boasting in that." I'm not boasting in it. I'm boasting on him because he brought me in to his family. I got birthed in, I got adopted in, and I got sealed in. And praise God, I am in. I am one of the sons of God. You say, that's a big statement to make, but that's what the Bible said. Now look what else it said here. In verse one, last part of it. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." World don't really know what we're about. Doesn't understand us praising God or going to church on Sunday morning and cold and all that. But they don't understand that we're saved, we're sons of God. But in verse number two, "Beloved, now," and that means right now, "are we the sons of God." And so he said, right now we are the sons of God. Sometimes people think about when I get to heaven, I'm going to be so and so and such and such. But right now we are the sons of God in this world. Isn't that something? In this world, we are the sons of God. And I can't get over that statement. That's a wonderful statement to be made, being the sons of God. And then he makes another statement and said, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And somebody prayed, I believe Brother Todd this morning, or Brother Buck it was, and said, "I'm not everything I ought to be." And all of us would have to say that. We're not everything we ought to be for God, but aren't you glad you're not what you used to be? And it doesn't yet appear what we're going to be, but when he does appear, we know we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And there's absolutely no fault in him. And so in that day when we shall appear, we shall be like him in a sinless body without sin whatsoever. I say glory, hallelujah. That's enough to shout all over the house about. Just knowing we're going to have a body that's without sin and without sickness and without any sorrow, heartaches, or disappointment, and live forever and forever. In that day we shall surely say it's worth it all. In that day we can say, praise God and the Lamb forever who made us one of the sons of God. Then verse number three. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." I want to pick out that one verse there and talk about that. And every man that hath this hope in him. What hope? The hope of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said in verse number two. When he shall appear. And so every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I'd like to talk just a little bit about cleaning up. And let me say this. When I talk about cleaning up, you can't get cleaned up unless you've been saved. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But I want to talk about this being purified. He said every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. That I looked at that and I thought on it. Meditated on it, said he purifies himself. It didn't say what God did for us, it said what we do for ourselves. You have a responsibility as a child of God to help yourself about being cleaned up, purified, living right, doing what's right, putting first things first. You have a choice about getting saved or not getting saved. Then you have a choice about your Christian life, where you're going to wander in the wilderness, or get saved, get dedicated to God and move into Canaan and live in the glorious place where milk and honey flow. You know why some people come to church on Sunday morning and they're already praising God? I met Brother G.W. down here at the end of the aisle. He saw me come in, came to me and said, "We're going to have a glorious time today." And I praise the Lord. And he came expecting something. He came looking for something. And no wonder he could testify and praise God and get excited about. And so he came for that reason. We all have a choice to make when we come to the house of God. Whether we're really looking for something or just come in because it's Sunday and we feel like we have a responsibility. It's good to be in the habit of going to church. That's a good habit to have. But we ought not go to church just because of the habit of going to church. We ought to go to church to meet God and worship Him and have a good time with Him. Amen. And let God do for us what He wants to do. And so as He speaks to our heart, this purify, getting impurities out. I thought that verse, Psalm 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure as silver is tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. I thought about that. You take silver and put it in a crucible or something and get it to a certain temperature. The impurities will rise to the top. You skim that off and then heat it up again. The more impurities will rise to the top. And so what it's saying is purify. Pure is to get the impurities out. And he said we ought to be pure even as He is pure. If we're going to be pure as He is pure, and then we're going to have to look in the Word of God that's pure and find out and let the be a furnace of fire to bring the dross to the top so we can scrape it off and get rid of it ourselves. Somebody, hey, silver, no matter what condition it's in, it's silver. But impurities mixed in with it. And to get what you really want for man to use, he has to get the impurities out. And so God wants us to get the impurities out so he can really use us like he wants to use us, because the impurities that keep us from being used as we ought to be used. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. And he said, purifieth. And I'm glad we can be pure. Psalm 119, verse 140. Thy word is very pure. Very pure. Didn't say just pure, very pure. I said, hallelujah. If I'm going to find out how to be pure, then I need to read the Word of God. I need to find out what God says. I need to obey the Word of God. I need to yield to the Word of God. I need to let the Word of God be my light under my feet and light under my path. I need to let the Word of God guide me in all things. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. And so we're talking about being purified. And talking about that, and I say, praise God. I said a while ago, you couldn't be purified, or you can't do anything about yourself now. There are people that try to get better, and they try to do better, and try to get their life in line, and try to drop some things, and try to do better. And that's all well and good in itself, as far as it goes. But that'll never make you a son of God. You can quit drinking liquor, you can quit cursing, you can quit doing all these other things, but that does not make you a son of God. The only way to be made a son of God is be born by the power of the Holy Ghost of God, saved by God's grace, that be saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Are you saved today? Many testify to the fact that they are saved. But if you couldn't stand and say that you are saved, then you can't clean up, because every time you try to clean up something, maybe something else pop up. And as you may try all you want to, but you'll never be satisfied with it, because you can never make yourself a Christian. Nobody can. Nobody's good enough to do that. We all come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has to be born again if we are to be saved sons of God. And now are we the son? To say that is to make a wonderful statement. Now we are the sons of God. And then he said, Jesus is coming back. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he's pure. Purifying, we said, to get the impurities out. It is to get our lives closer to God and get rid of things that hold us back, those things that are impure, unclean, that we might deal with. But I want to talk about being saved for just a little bit here. And because that's who we're talking about, saved folk, born again people who has had an experience of being born in the family of God. And here he says that in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm glad we can come together and reason about this thing. You think about it. What can you do for yourself to help yourself? Hey, not anything you can do, but come to God. And he said he'd clean you up. He'd make you white as snow, clean like the wool of a sheep. He said he'd make you cleaned up. But you can't do that yourself, so you have to come to God to get cleaned up to start with, and then God will help you clean up as you go. When he saved you, and I want to make a point of this right here, when he saved you, he did not save your flesh. When he saved you, there's a new creature moved on the inside, and you got saved spiritually, but your flesh was not saved. And that flesh comes way short of the glory of God. And the flesh fails us, but I'm glad, praise God, then the Holy Spirit moved in, can help us, that we might work on ourselves with his help, and that we might clean up, and that we might give ourselves to God, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed to the world, what God wants us to be, the sons of God. And so we need that help from God. Our minds might be clear and clean, and we might do what the psalmist David cried in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. How we desire for God to do that. And God does that in us, then we need to let that clean heart work out of us. The Bible says work out your salvation. And you can't work out something that's not in. It don't mean work for salvation. It means work out that salvation. What God has done for you and put in on the inside of you needs to come out on the outside and show that you are saved and purified by the grace of God and be helping yourself to be cleaned up. Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. When you're not even thinking about it, Jesus will appear. We have heard about the coming of Jesus. We have heard about the rapture. We think about it sometimes, but I dare say there's many days go by that we fail to really be looking for the coming of the Son of God, to really be aware of the fact that he may come today. And every day of our lives, we ought to be ready for his coming. Somebody said, what would you do if you knew Jesus was going to come today? That's a good question. I'd like to think I'd keep on doing what I've been doing, amen? Trying to serve God, trying to live for God, and trying to let God have my life be what it ought to be for his glory. But it's still a good question to ask, and we ought to ask it today. What would I do right now if I knew Jesus was going to come today? What would you do? Unsaved, what would you do right now if you knew Jesus is coming today before the day's over, that Jesus would come? What would you do? And I pray that God would speak to your heart, deal with your life, that the Holy Ghost may make it real to you, so you can realize the fact of how important it is that you get saved today. In Matthew chapter 25, and as you read the first few verses there, it talks about the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 wise had oil in their lamps, 5 foolish had none. Now the 5 wise picture the saved people. 5 foolish pictures the unsaved. The oil speaks of the Holy Spirit of God. And so the 5 wise had the oil in their lamps. And it made a call and said, the bridegroom comes. Now you have to know something about the Jewish weddings of old time and their custom about getting married. And the bride would not know exactly when the bridegroom was coming. But when he was coming, somebody would come through first and cry, the bridegroom's coming. And then the bride and her maids and all those would get ready to meet him and be ready when he gets there. And all those people that wanted to be in the celebration of that marriage would get ready for that because the bridegroom's a-coming. And here we see a bridegroom comes, a cry's made, the bridegroom cometh. And then the bridegroom comes, takes those who have oil in their lamps. They go in, and the door is shut. I remember a while ago when I talked about the ark. When God shut the door to the ark, no man could open it. He shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. His sons didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And when God shut the door, it shut. And when the bridegroom came, in Matthew 25, he took 5 wise, 5 virgins that had the oil in their lamps, and they went into the chamber, shut the door, and no man could open it. The unwise, the foolish virgins, they cried and said, and by the way, they were all virgins, so they looked alike. And they'd be like a church member sitting in a church. They say they're saved. They may all look alike in that sense, but down in the heart of whether the oil is or not, the real question. And so the door was shut, And the foolish said, give us all of your land. They said, not so. We can't do that. Unless we have none. And so you can't give salvation to somebody else. You can't give what you've got. I remember a story about Dr. Percy Ray. He was a preacher. He wasn't preaching, but he had a preacher boy preaching for him. And he's sitting on the front pew, and the preacher boy's kind of struggling along trying to preach. And Dr. Ray is praying there, and he said, Lord, give him some of my power. No, I don't mean that. And so if you could give salvation away, you wouldn't want to give any of your salvation away. And so don't do that. But the door shut, and the foolish said, we'll had to go by. But then the door was shut while it's gone. I'm telling you today, the day is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It's not some other time, but now. And so we need to listen to what God has to say. Back to my text verse. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he's pure. Do you have the hope in you that Jesus is coming again today or someday, any day, maybe today? But Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Verse number 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. God said we ought to live that way. And it's important that we do live that way, soberly, righteously, and godly. And God hath not appointed us to unrighteousness, but unto holiness, he said. And I praise God that he tells us how that we ought to live. 1 John 2:28, and it talks about that we ought to be ready for his coming. For God hath not called us. And this is what I quoted a while ago, 1 Thessalonians 4:7. God hath not called us unto unrighteousness, but to holiness. But in 1 John 2:28, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, not be ashamed before him at his coming. Would you be ashamed today if Jesus came? Would you be ashamed if Jesus came and raptured out the church? Then I want you to turn with me over to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. I want you to get this. We're talking about the rapture taking place. Somewhere along the way, the Antichrist is going to come to power. And you'd have to admit with me today, the world, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. I remember as a boy, I never heard of such a thing as homosexuality. Wasn't talked about. Nobody knew anything about it, much where I come from anyway. Probably if anybody mentioned it, somebody would have shot him, I guess. I don't know. But today, that's supposed to be acceptable. And today, we're supposed to not be people do what they want to and everything be hunky-dory. That's not what the Bible says. But as you look at the world and world condition, setting up what's happening in all the countries and rebellions and all that's taking place in Israel, and what a prophecy it is that Israel is a nation tonight. Today is one of the greatest prophecies of Scripture, that Israel is a nation and she will be a nation. And she'll be there. And Iran's treading on dangerous ground, I can tell you that. And preacher, what's going to happen? Jesus is going to come. What's going to happen in America? Jesus is going to come. What's going to happen in Israel? Jesus is going to come. What's going to happen to the church and old time way of worship? And what's going to happen? Jesus is going to come. And he's going to snatch us out of here. And we're going home to be with him. And resurrected bodies of those who have went on before us. And then we which are remain shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. And go up to meet them in the clouds and meet the Lord in there. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I say glory, hallelujah. Jesus is going to come again. And maybe today. And if he comes today, hallelujah. We leave out of here and shouting glory, hallelujah as we go. And bid this old world goodbye and these old bodies wrecked with pain and all that. And be in a glorified body like unto him. See him like he is and be like him. I say glory to God. I can't take it all in. It blows my mind. I can't conceive of it, but glory, hallelujah. It shall take place. Amen. Amen. I know make a difference. I see some sitting here today that's been sick and been in the hospital, and some is going through some things they're working on now, and some of us have sicknesses and all of that. But I can tell you right now, one day, hallelujah, we'll be out of here and be in a glorified body. Won't have to worry about all that. Amen. Jesus will come and take us out. You say, preacher, I'm not saved, but I'll get saved. If Jesus comes, I don't know what to do. I'll just ask God to save me and get saved. Wait a minute. Let's see what the word says. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, talking about the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's when he comes back in Revelation. That wicked one will come to power, but then God's going to destroy him when Jesus comes back on earth. Even him, notice this, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. The Antichrist is going to have power. He's going to do lying wonders and signs. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. In them that perish. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. Do you hear that? That the word of God says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. People today that's not saved, they've heard the gospel, had that opportunity to be saved. Then Jesus comes, raptures out the church. God said, I'll send them strong delusion. I'll let them believe a lie. I'll let them follow the Antichrist. I'll let them think that he's the Christ. I'll let them follow him. And they'll be damned because they would not believe the truth. Now, I want you to know there's a time going to come. God's going to say, that's enough. That's enough. Son, go get your bride. And get out. And when he does, the Antichrist will come to power. There's going to be a lot of people deceived. And they'll believe a lie and be damned because they would not believe the truth. May God help us today to believe the truth and be saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to open the Word of God and think about the second coming, the rapture of the church, the snatching out of the bride. And Father, that we shall see Jesus as he is. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have the privilege now, this side of eternity, before the rapture, to be saved. To come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I pray for everyone in this house that knows not Jesus, that today would be the day they would realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them, loved them, gave himself for them, that they might be saved. And Father, that they may realize a great truth, that Jesus may come today. They need to be saved if they're going to go in the rapture. If not, be left to be deceived. I pray in this invitation, the seriousness of it, the seriousness of this hour in which we live, I pray the power of the Holy Ghost would work and draw, and we'll give you all the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.